no fruit, and then you will perish quickly off the good land that the Lord is giving you. You shall put these words of mine in your heart and on your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and fix them as an emblem of your on your forehead. Teach them your children, talking to them always, when you're at home and when you're away, when you lie down and when you rise. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in preparing for tonight, I asked two people what their favorite text was, and they gave me Philippians 4. And so that's what's in the that's what's in the bulletin, but there was something nagging at me all day, and I would like to say that that was the Holy Spirit, not indigestion, about teach your children. And, you know, and from the very beginning of the Bible all the way through the end, there's a common theme about God wanting us to learn His commandments, but not only learn, but obey them. They seem to be very important to Him, and the commandments are relational. You know, he starts out with the first commandment being, go therefore and multiply and fill the land. So it's a relational commandment, right? A relational between Adam and Eve and the descendants that'll come thereafter. And then shortly thereafter, we get Moses coming down with the Ten Commandments, and the first four are how we are to be in relationship with God the Father. So it's a vertical relationship. And then the remaining six are how we are to be in relationship with each other, a horizontal relationship, sign of the cross. Amazing, isn't it? And then people get in the way, and we go from 10 to a couple hundred. And finally, Jesus comes back to earth, and he says, yeah, we need to narrow it down a little bit, so I'm going to give you two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and then love your neighbor as yourself. Again, vertical relationship and horizontal relationship. So how does that tie into our text today? If you look at it, at the text, you'll see there's that commandment right at the beginning to learn and obey and actively live out what God is calling us to do. And as a result of that, our reward is the blessing that God blesses his people with, his land with, and so on and so forth. And there's a reminder that it's not your children that have seen my discipline, it's you. And so we see that text, that verse, it says, it's the mighty hand of God, the outstretched arm. Now, that particular verse has always struck me powerfully, because if you've ever seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, there's a scene where Jesus is being crucified, and Jesus offers his hand, and they put a rope around it to pull it tighter, to pull it to reach the other side where they're going to put the nail in. His mighty hand and an outstretched arm. It's to me, it's just a symbol of God's love for his people. And then, so that's the one aspect, and then it talks about the blessing, and then there's the end of that passage that I read about teach your children. Teach your children. And that's what was gnawing at me all day. Teach your children. How do we teach our children? I thought about that, and I thought, there's many ways that we can do it. And there's many ways that we can go terribly wrong at it. Like, we wouldn't take, for example, take a toddler like this and tell them, okay, you simply stand up, and then you put one foot in front of the other. Oh, no, you got to stand up first, put one foot in front. Stand up, you know, right? A toddler is not going to, it seems almost insane that we would try to instruct a child that way. But how do we instruct a toddler? Well, part of it is the toddler's just got a natural natural inclination to want to do, right? To want to explore. So there's some of that that's innate in all of us to do it. But what do we do as parents or grandparents? We get down on the floor on all fours and we encourage, right? We say, good job, we you can do it, you know? I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm the only one, but I made a fool out of myself, you know, encouraging every moment of progress from the time that Anthony could just stand by himself. I became his biggest cheerleader, right? And so what struck me about this text is somewhere along the way, Anthony's 10 and a half now, and I'm still his cheerleader, his biggest cheerleader, but I've forgot that he has to learn it. There's some things that he's going to have to want to do and experience on his own. Let me give you an example. Softball season's among us, and so the other day we were out in the backyard trying to play catch. And I'm trying to give him all the instructions on how to catch the ball. You got to hold your glove like this. You got to use your other hand to trap the ball. You don't want to use your hand before the ball gets there because it'll hurt and blah, blah, blah. And so I'm giving him all of these technicalities or the technical stuff of how to properly catch. And I'm getting so frustrated. And I realized that in a moment, that I wasn't being a very good cheerleader. And I just had to step back for a moment and realize that it's not about him catching the ball perfectly. It's about spending the time with him. Because as I reflected on that, I started to think of how my father instructed me. And I started to become awakened to the amount of patience my dad had for me in teaching me the skills of baseball. And I never really thought about that until now, about how many hours that he put in with me. And here I'm trying to think that Anthony's going to get it with just a few simple instructions and a couple tosses, right? Which led me to an epiphany. And maybe it's an epiphany for you too. But the reality is, or the epiphany is, that I have a copy of this picture in my office. And the reality is that in God's instructions for us to live out those commandments, to love God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and to love others as our neighbors, has to be a walk that we walk every moment of the day. Because our children are going to model what we do, what we say, how we treat each other. A confessional moment. I come from a family that when they argued, they argued loud. They were yellers. We were yellers. My wife comes from a family who, what Dad said was law, and you didn't argue. And so for us, bringing those two completely opposite dynamics together, it becomes difficult until her and I become one. And quite honestly, it was a lot of doing on my part of breaking bad habits, of being able to realize that in a split second when I'm trying to get Anthony to do something, and then all of a sudden he's yelling back at me. I'm like, oh my gosh, what have I done? What have I done? What have I modeled for him? And so every moment of our lives is an opportunity to remember how we walk, how we obey those commands, how we love God, how we love others. We may not realize that people are looking or watching us, but they are. They are. John Wesley talked about how a holiness of heart and life led to walking a spiritual walk, being a reflection of our love for Christ to the world. And I've heard it said that that's the type of walk we should walk. That's the kind of message that we should be sending. And if that leads to a conversation, then and only then should we use words, right? Because sometimes our words have less weight than our actions. And so I would pray that tonight you would think about how your walk is perceived by the world. Your walk is received by your children or grandchildren or your friends or your neighbors. How you live and act and communicate, walk and talk, love God and love others, will speak volumes to so many, some that you may not even realize. And so Jesus comes to the table knowing that with it would take an outstretched arm and a mighty hand. What his disciples didn't know, but what he was getting ready to say is, I have to walk this walk. I hope you see it as a walk of love. And he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he said these startling words, this is my body broken for you. Take, eat, and do this in remembrance of me. And when the supper was over, he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks again. And he said, take, drink, all of you, for this is my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me. And so we come praying, if you would, with me, in the presence of God, seeking the power of your Spirit to descend upon these common elements of fruit of the vine and grain of the field, that they would be blessed and become for us the body and blood of Christ. And that by partaking in that body, that we would become one with you and one to the world. That our walk would be a reflection of our love for you. And the world would see that love. And pray your blessing upon these elements. In Christ's holy name, amen. So just a couple housekeeping issues. In the United Methodist Church, we practice what we call an open table, which means all are welcome to this table. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church for that matter to come and receive God's grace. All are welcome. All who wish to have an epiphany of God's great grace for your life, come and receive. So we'll be doing it by sharing communion by intinctions. I'll break off a piece of the bread and you'll hear the words, the body of Christ broken for you. and then you'll receive that, because grace is always received, never taken. And then you'll dip it into the cup and hear the words, the blood of Christ shed for you. So as you're ready, as the Spirit leads you, come. Come and receive the grace of our God, the commandment of our God. May you go from this place with God's commandments lodged deep within your heart, and may your walk be a walk of beauty and a reflection of your love for Christ. Go in peace in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You who are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well, their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they fix, the one you'll told you would cry.